A63, number 27B.
We come to another question, and actually I would have liked to touch only for a few minutes on a question that is important that we left out also in the assignment. Namely, I would like you to investigate also the second record of creation. We have been talking a lot about the first record of creation, and the question is always now, what about the second record of creation? And I feel that that should be seen too. We have a very short comparison between the first and second record of creation in that little booklet of mine, Notes on Handling Evil, which Ralph sells here. There on page 5, I have given a short comparison, but naturally also in John Dorley's verbatim reports on the signs on the Bible, volume 1, he gives the interpretation of the second record of creation. And I think that volume 1 of John Dorley is an important volume. I think it's a key volume. And in that you find an explanation of the first record of creation. You find in it the second record of creation in the subtones. You find in it the thousand-year periods. And you find in it also the correspondence with the corresponding tones of the days with the Beatitude, Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. So what we have been discussing this week, very much of it is in Dorley's Volume 1, which is a foundational volume. And there, I think we have to see how really the second record of creation is nothing else but showing what happens to error when the first record of creation has its impact on an erroneous sense of creation. It isn't a false creation that is shown there. What is shown there, that it really uncovers a false sense of creation, because there is only one creation going on, and that's all the creation that there is going on. We can have a right or a wrong concept about it. And so I just want quickly to point out, so that perhaps you feel you would like to make a deeper investigation, how very clearly we have the corresponding sense of the days. So I run quickly through the 7 days, and it's a counterfeit, the wrong sense. Perhaps you have 2 columns on your paper, and on the first column we see what? The first day was, let there be light, just light. And in the second, you see, there went up a mist. And you see at once that light is that which is counterfeited in a mist, which is ignorance. The second day we remember is the firmament of separation. In the second record, you have the very opposite, namely that man is made out of the dust of ground, out of the dust of the ground, and put the spirit into his nostril, what is the rendering in English, and put the breath of life in his nostrils. Yeah. So you have there a sense of spirit and matter mingling. Not like the second day separation. The third day is the dry land. of grass, herb, fruit trees, etc. In the second record, you have man put also in a dry land, namely into the Garden of Eden. That really stands for mortality and for corporeal sense and for body. So you have, instead of a true spiritual identity, you have a corporeal identity. You have the body. The fourth day, you remember, is the sun, moon, and the stars, the system of it. And in the false record of creation, you have the very opposite. Instead of having a system where everything is put together, you have the breaking up of the system, namely, man was hypnotized, put into a sleep, dear old Adam, and a rib was taken out of him and made woman. So man or woman separated from man. You have the breaking up of the whole system instead of integrating everything into the system. Then you have the fifth day. The fifth day of the fish and the multiplication and the exaltation of the fowls in the air. In the wrong record of creation, we have the very opposite, that the woes of women, of the woman, is multiplied, multiplies the sorrow of Eve. She should give birth with pain. At the sixth day of creation, we have man and his dominion over the earth. In the false record, we have woman that is cursed and to bring forth children in sorrow. And instead of the dominion of man, it is said that man should till the ground. He is now dominated by matter, by the ground, by the earth. He is the servant and the slave of mortality. In the seventh day, we have God's work is complete. In the false record of creation, you have the very opposite. Instead of finding peace and rest, we have that Cain goes out of the land and dwells in the land of Nod. He's excommunicated from the Holy Land. expelled, and dwells in the land of Nod. Nod was a term for wilderness being mixed up of chaotic state of things and so on. So you have the very opposite of fulfillment here. So this is what we should see also. We have taken it very quickly, namely that as we culture our consciousness in the word order, as we have done all through that week, that we have to see that culturing of the consciousness within us has naturally the Christ effect, the truth effect, that it will expel from us the false sense of creation, false sense of creativity. So that not only the true sense is important and should be cultured, but also seen that this consciousness which we entertain will have an effect on our mortality, and that it begins to operate and expel from us the false sense of creation. So that finally, at the seventh day, really Cain is expelled from the Holy Land and dwells in the land of Nod, into the land of nothingness. Which brings us really to the last assignment, namely the world order in the inverted order. What is really that inverted world order? I quickly tell you the historical side of it. You remember how Chandoli was seeing the days of creation rather early in his life, way back in 1914, when he was still a young practitioner and teacher and lecturer. And he could see the importance of it, so he said, I was constantly culturing those sevenfold order for general culturing of my consciousness and using it in practice, and that then after many, many years he suddenly felt that actually he could go out from love instead of going from mind to love, to go out from love and see that he could go out from love and look back on the sixth day of creation by handling in this way evil. That's why we have to see that the first record of creation and the second record of creation have a connection, which means that if we build up through the days of creation a true sense of creation, that we come at the point where the whole false sense of creation is expelled, is therefore at the point of nothingness, out in the land of naught. And that therefore, when we reach the seventh day of fulfillment and perfection, and therefore also to see the nothingness of error, that therefore at that point we could say, why always climb up? Once we have cultured that consciousness well enough, why not stay there and stay in heaven and just have a peep back, looking back, to see that the six days, the six stages that we have gone are actually the only fact, and that therefore that which seems to be a wrong creation does not exist. It does not need to disappear anymore. The moment we touch the seventh day and stay there, naturally we have seen, then the days of creation melt into the numerals of infinity, and we don't need to go back anymore on that. Once we have touched that, then we can say, then evil does not need to disappear, mortality does not need to disappear. At that point we know it has never existed. That's the difference, huh? That it has never existed. Therefore, the inverted word order makes only sense when we go out from love and look back on truth and life and principle and soul, spirit and mind in a very definite way. Namely, always look back to see that the counterfeit of these synonymous terms, that the wrong sense of creation is not in existence, does not exist. Not so much that it is that the true sense destroys the wrong sense, but much more that the wrong sense does no more exist, is no more a factor. Do you see that? That once we have arrived at the point of love, of fulfillment, of perfection, we don't need to see that perfection is going to destroy imperfection, but that we have that consciousness where we see the impossibility of another creation, of our own creation. And therefore, when we go out from love, therefore, in the inverted order, we have to see that we flow in a way that says that the opposite of the days of creation don't exist, and not so much that they are destroyed. Actually, we cannot be more papal than the Pope when we do this exercise. Just as Judy has said, we begin to see that all these categories flow into each other slowly. Namely, It is quite true, you see, that if in your consciousness, you feel your consciousness is the perfection of being and see that no imperfection exists, that you naturally also have a sense that imperfection has been destroyed. But the point is not so much that you feel that your consciousness is going to destroy its opposite, but that it is already destroyed and does no more exist. So, can you see what you do when you have a sense of having gone up the ladder, like the angels, and have reached the seventh of perfection? Then you begin to handle evil from that stand, from that point of grace, from the throne of grace, where you look back on the whole of creation and can't see any more evil. Therefore, at that point, you begin to feel, I just run through it quickly. See, just to give you the tonality of it, when you know the synonymous term, you always change the ideas that you will use. But the main point is that we see that the opposite does not exist and therefore is destroyed or is wiped out or has vanished from your consciousness. So you go out from that wonderful sense that God is love. What does it mean? It means that you have in your consciousness a sense that everything is at the point of absolute perfection, of absolute glory, of absolute holiness. Where you feel that the plan of love is always at work, and you fill first your consciousness with a positive sense of the ideas of love, where you see that you are at the point of all-inclusiveness, where there is nothing else. So you look back on the belief of a false creation and see, therefore, there is no imperfection. Therefore, there is no exclusion of anything that is good. Therefore, there is no chaotic development. There is no unlawful development in the plan of God. Everything is according to the plan of God and operates according to the plan of God. And you have a sense of great sense of motherhood of love, and you feel that you are always included in that all-embracing sense of the motherhood of God. And therefore you can see there is never a state that is not fulfilled. And therefore there is no consciousness which feels that there is not a possibility that all our needs will be met. Love will meet all those needs. Or you go to truth and you fill your consciousness with the consciousness of truth, where you see that everything and your whole being is at the point of truth, at the point of true manhood, that from everlasting to everlasting, the idea of true manhood was always established, and therefore that you are always at the point of having dominion over all your problems, that you have the ideal concept of manhood and that you have never deviated from that ideal standpoint of manhood. So you begin to know what you are divinely, the way God knows you as man. And that has no more any concept that we could be a mortal, that we could be enslaved, that we have left the standard of being. And so you feel that you are at the very point of perfect manhood. Or you go to the point of view of life, and you fill your consciousness with life and say, what is the actuality in life? And you feel that you are always at the point of eternality, of immortality, of deathlessness, that your being is always a state of perfect individualization, that you have an individuality and therefore infinite individuality, and that therefore the newness of life is constantly at work and that it multiplies within you. You are always at the point of absolute inspiration and intuition, where you feel the spontaneity of life and where you feel that everything of what you do and what you are is constantly under that impact of the spontaneity and newness of life, and therefore you lose absolutely a sense that anything could be dead within you, that you are in a state of routine, where always everything goes the same way, where nothing new happens, and you have a sense that you are freed from all that sense that the idiosyncrasies of a mortal is dominating you, but that you feel really that the true individuality of yourself is constantly in charge of your being, of your every act, of your every moment, and therefore you bring out this inspirational sense of being. Or you go to principle and you say, well, from the point of view of perfection of principle, what are you? From that point of view, you can see yourself that you are constantly moving and operating within a system, therefore within a frictionless system, that therefore everything in the universe works together for good for you, so that you have a whole universe that is serving us, that is serving you, that is maintaining you, that is helping you, that is blessing you, and you feel carried by a whole universe of ideas, so that you don't feel you have been broken away from God, that you have been separated from God, that you are only an isolated factor in being, without any relationship with the whole of being. And you feel that therefore you are in a state of constant harmony, of constant concord, so that there is no disharmony in your consciousness, and you are not afraid of discord. You feel that you are eternally governed by a principle, that you are under the government of a God, that you are never under the government of human opinions, under the government of your body and the system of your body, under the government of the whole organism of your body. You feel that you are living in that system and that everything in your whole being is operating according to system, that your life is according to system, your organism is according to system, that that system reaches every part of your being, every part of your life, of your family life, of your business life, of your bodily life, and reaches every cell of your being. So you get a terrific sense of principle always operating, that there is no other principle, no other theory operating. You feel that, therefore, all these theories like necromancy, like spiritualism, like Judaism, Roman Catholicism, hypnotism, mesmerism, is not working in you. You see, you feel that they have no more a place within you to work. And so you come to soul and you build up your consciousness that as an idea of soul, you are always at the perfect expression of soul, which means that you are constantly in a sense that you feel your identity remains untouched, nothing can touch you, that you are absolutely safe, that you have an integrity of character, an integrity of spiritual understanding, and nothing can touch it. We are at the point where we don't feel that we can lose anything that belongs to men. That therefore I'm in a state of absolute state of changelessness. There is no loss. No loss of freedom, no loss of joy, no loss of happiness, no loss of balance, because you are in soul absolutely balanced in joy and happiness. So you come perhaps to the point of view of spirit where you feel I'm always at the perfection of spirit. There is nothing else but the spiritual happening, which means that you feel you are constantly at the perfect state of a new birth taking place within you, that you are constantly at the place where only the good operates in you as unfoldment, as development, as evolution, so that only really the fruits of spirit are coming out, that you are constantly in a process of progress and infinite progression, so that you feel absolutely free from that sense of being frustrated, of not being able to bring forth fruits, of not being able really to be of great value in the world. You feel that the values of spirit, the graces of spirit are yours, so that you feel all that was going on is the purity of spirit, and there you feel absolutely free from any mixing, being mixed up with anything that is extraneous to spirit. So that we feel we are not mixed up with the world, we are not mixed up with worldly condition, with material affection, with material aims and motives, that we are constantly at a state where only the spirit moves us, and the spirit moves us where it wants to move us. The wind blows where it wants to blow. And so you feel finally at the point of mind that you are always at the perfection of mind, at the state of perfection of mind, namely always at the state of being idea and never a human concept. Therefore, constantly be free from any human concept, any human opinion, from any human guessing. You are at the state of being a lawful idea, acting powerfully within the divine law, that nothing but the law of God is going on within us, and nothing but the law of God has an impact on us and is holding us under the control of mind, and nothing can control us anymore. No world opinion, no human opinion, no other people's thought can control us, influence us. Can you see, I always say that the other is not. I'm not going to say that the idea that I entertain is overcoming something else. There is just no more anything there. So you establish in this way a terrific sense of your perfection, absolute perfection of love, of absolute perfection of truth, absolute perfection of life, principle, soul, spirit, mind. And as you see that and entertain that there is only love that is all, and anything counterfeit to it is a nothing, you entertain that consciousness as an establishment of the Word of God, and you still can then say, and this Word of God has a Christ. Therefore, that consciousness which you have established has itself a Christ and will take care of any situation. So that it is the Christ to every situation in which I am in. It's the Christ to any situation that may arise. It is the Christ that will forestall every error as it comes along. And you just feel that now the Christ is going to work. And that's what we'll do next year.